type of thing, but just the meekness and the willingness of submission to the will of God. He submitted himself and his family to Elder Canfield's leadership. And, you know, that's what we are doing here. But he not only resembles him in character and commitment, but in spirit as well. Of all my sons in the faith, and I thank God that I have many now, I consider it many God. You know, more than two or three is many. But I got some spiritual sons in this house that I'm just so proud of, and they all carry a certain aspect of my spirit in the sense of how I've been raised up in the things of God. And this is one thing I know for sure. I got sons coming up, and I got these that are raised up, and they're stable, they're strong, they're committed to the things of God. And I know, and I'm not saying this, I ain't planning on going anywhere. Pastor Lucy and I, we're not going anywhere. For at least the next 28 years or so, probably 30 years or so. So we'll be around a good 30 years or something. But I say that in the sense of, if I were to leave today, I would be good because I know what's in them. And they'll continue in it, and they won't shy away from it. How can you be so sure? Because I watch them now, and I know them too. I came into it early, in a sense. When I came to the Lord, I was ready. So everything that the Lord wanted to do, I was cooperating within him. Within the first year, he had weaned me of everything that I was doing in the world, in the sense of partying and stuff like that. He weaned it all away from me because I was ready. And this is the reason why many don't victory that quickly, or they don't get the victory, you know, early on in their walk with life, with God, because they're just not ready, and they want to hold on to their lives and things. And it's like, if you lose your life, you'll find it, but if you keep your life, you're gonna lose it. And so I learned that early on, and to God be the glory. So anyways, I just love them dearly. Praise God. I'm talking about, I'll use Minister Patton as an example, but I got other sons in the faith. And if I start naming names, I might miss somebody. But they know that the special, you know, treasure they are to me, the special place they have. I love them dearly. Amen. So with that being said, you may be seated in the presence of God. I am not going to be very long, and I'm going to keep to that. Even as in time past, I said I'm going to keep to it, and I don't keep to it. Because when I try and keep to it, then the Holy Ghost starts going. And then it's like he keeps going. And even though some of you probably just keep going and going and going, but it's like I'd be trying to shut it off, but it keeps coming. So anyways, I purpose today not to be very long. I do want to share with you, and you also have your bulletin to look at as well to reflect on just what the Spirit of God was revealing concerning us as the people of God today. So you have that in your post. And I don't know that I will go there, but in the event that I do, I have it here to go over it with you. And, you know, forgive the print. It's a little bit, but it's about your new life in Christ. And I pray that you're enjoying it. Listen, I have, and it ain't about me, but sometimes you learn by the example of others and what they choose to share with you, especially when they give you a sneak peek into the sea of their life, their walk, their relationship with God, things along that lines, the intimate times that you normally wouldn't get a chance to. I'm not comparing myself to, but I'll just share it with you. Now, she's been gone on to be with the Lord for so many years now, but one of her videos was out there on YouTube, and I looked at it, and that was Catherine Kuhlman, and she just spoke about how people wanted to know what was Catherine like in private. They knew what she was like on the platform, on the stage, but what was she like in private? And so anyways, it's those kind of moments when Jesus would take the disciples. He had 12, and he called them apostles after he had prayed for them. And the Lord bore witness that these were the 12 that he was to use, even though one was a devil, still God used him. So Jesus had the 12, but then he had three of the 12 that were more intimate than others. He had conversations with them that the others weren't necessarily privy to, or he spent some closer times with them. It was Peter, James, and John. They were with him at the Mount of Transfiguration, if you will. They were with him when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he had the 11 with them because by that time Judas had betrayed Jesus, but he was with the 11, and so he gets to a certain point, and he tells the 8 to remain here, and then he takes the other 3 with him, Peter, James, and John, a little bit further, and then after that, he went on further than them. But there was that closeness, if you will, where he would just open up to them. So you have those kind of moments and all. And anyways, with that being said, we may get over here to this, but I don't think so, because right now I just really feel there with you about where we at. Something I've been sharing before, but it's necessary because it's helping, whether some of you realize it or not, it's helping people to identify with who they are. And so my private time with the Father is, it can always get better. And no matter how close you get in your walk and relationship with God, there's always room for growth. There's always room for improvement. There's always a deeper level and realm to go to. You can never bottom God out while you're in this earthly tabernacle. We won't know everything the way all things are until we are with him, where we are in constant communion and fellowship. We have it now to a certain degree, but not like we'll have it when we behold him face to face, if you will. And so spending time, this is a disclosure and all, spending time with him, it gets better and better as the years go by. It becomes more and more intimate. The reading of his word is not a task and a chore. It's a delight. Before it was a task and a chore because you just, and you don't know very much about the word. You may know from sermons you may have heard before, or, you know, a few things you might have heard from others. You know, well, the Bible says, you might have heard people say that. And sometimes when they say the Bible says, it's not what the Bible says. It's probably what they recall or what somebody told them, but it doesn't always necessarily mean it. But, you know, when you come in, it's like, you know, there's a strong encouragement, admonishment at times, because there was this one pastor that just recently, you could relate to him because being a pastor, you understand how it can be at times, especially when things aren't going the way you believe God wants them to. And so he just was about reading their word. And a lot of times, I believe it's relative to the times that we are in. Because if there was a time, and it always has been a time, when believers need to be in their word to see what God says about situations, now is truly the time. Again, I know I may upset some people by my certain beliefs of mine that are not necessarily related to the word, but they are related to the word if you just go to another level. What's another level? Another level is that government is of God. God ordained government. God is the one who implemented the government system, if you will. And so they modeled those things from what God has established. So with that being said, it's like if you just look at some of the stuff, I watched this week, and I kid you not, as God is my witness, I watched this senator question this potential appointee to become judge. Ask her. Point blank. Mind you, I believe this senator believes that he's saved. I believe that he believes he's a Christian. I'm not certain, but I believe that he thinks that. And he's not the only one. There are others as well. They especially when they're dealing with their opposite, when I say opposite, their opposite political party, if you will. And he asked her point blank, do you believe that homosexuality and lesbianism is a sin? You know, do you believe, how would you handle an LGBTQ case, dot, dot, dot? You know, have you ever had them work for you as a, it wasn't a staff member, but I forget what they called, clerk for you. And the woman's response was so apropos, so appropriate. She says, I've never been a judge before, so I don't have the clerks. And it was like, if you will. But nevertheless, it's the questions. Do you believe it's a sin? Now, mind you, if it was one of us, you bet your bottom dollar it's a sin. And I'll tell you what else. Just because you don't think it's a sin doesn't mean that it's not sin. You know, we'd have given them a shirt unless we, you know, fear for what they may do to us. And it's like, we don't have to be afraid anymore. You know, speak our convictions because it's wrong. And the fact that you would say it's wrong doesn't mean you hate that person. As a matter of fact, you show more love towards that person than the person that's saying that it is okay. But these are the times that we're facing. And believers need to know God's perspective on this because they think that God has changed because society has changed. God has not changed. He says, I am the Lord. I change not. What he said was wrong back then is still wrong today. And if you legislate and make it legal, it still doesn't change the fact that God views it. And in the end, you won't have to stand before Congress or stand before a senator or House of Representatives or a Supreme Court justice, if you will, and give an account. But you will stand before Almighty God and give an account. And he will look at you and say, I am the Lord. I don't change. You have no one to justify you for that kind of behavior. The thing of it is that the person, God still loves the person. God loves the people that he will have to send to hell. And it's not God sending them to hell. It's their rejection of Christ that sends them there. And so our mindset, our worldview, if you will, position in life is not based on popular opinion. It's not based on what society declares as okay or not okay. Our conviction goes all the way up to the highest office in the land, and it's not the White House. It is God's house. It is heaven's head, a place where God resides. And I know some of you probably get tired of hearing me say this, but it's like, you better say something. Because people are only getting more and more progressively worse. And so even in the time, like you may not be able to, some of you, you may not be able to find, read God's word, or may not even develop an appetite for it, if you will. But I would liken it to some food that you just don't like, that you have to get an acquired taste for. And then once you start eating the food, you start noticing how good the food is to you and how good the food is for you. So all of a sudden, you develop that appetite for this because you've been feeding off of the world for far too long. I mean, the world just spoon feeds us on a daily basis. And some of you avoid media altogether. And so you would be in the land of called ignorance, because you don't pay attention to what's going on, and that's what they count on you doing to them. Just listen to what they say whenever you hear them. Or just be traditional. Mama was this, daddy was this, granddaddy was this, grandmama was this. And, you know, it's just been our history, so we just do this. It's like, no, we have to start doing things by intelligence now, by being informed now, having God's perspective on everything that we do. Because in everything that we do in word and in deed, we want to glorify God. So all of that coming to the place of, you know, that personal private time, you will grow. You will grow. You will start to get a hunger and thirst. You will gain an interest in spending that time. And there may be some mornings where you don't get up and you know you ought to get up, but you don't get up. And you then finally, when you do get up, you might feel condemned. And it's like, no, pick up where you left off. Praise God. Start talking to God when you do get up out of that bed. Start establishing the fellowship with God. And just throughout the time in his presence. And then if you lack the hunger for his word, ask. A-S-K. Ask, seek, knock. Pound the door open. But don't be spiritually malnourished as a child of God. Don't be ignorant. We come to God. God does not leave us in the state of ignorance. That's why he's given us his word. And his word is precious. His word is tested. His word is true. His word is pure. His word does not return to him void. It will accomplish what he pleased and prosper in the thing that he sent it for. His word will be the final judgment concerning our lives. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God says, Jesus says, his word shall remain. Jesus is the incarnate word, if you will. And he came and revealed the love of the Father towards all mankind, not just one race or ethnicity or, you know, not just to the Jew, but to the entire world. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. Okay. So the private time, the personal time, is something that Dad is looking for in each and every one of us. I know we're busy. We all have things that we have to do, work that needs to get done, something that you cannot. I've heard you say this time and time again, and I'll keep on because it's like not with a whip. One of these days I'm going to get a whip. I used to have a little one, but it's not like with a whip. Read your Bible. Pray. Come to church. Dad's not doing it. Sometimes it might feel that way. But even in the servants trying to get you to that place, push you to that place, move you into that position, it's not because we just want you to be like us. You know, discover who you are through God's word and that you begin to have that personal touch from the master, that personal communion and fellowship from the master. You're not just living off of a Sunday or a Wednesday if you come out on Wednesdays. You're not just living off of that, but you're in the presence and fellowship of Almighty God. You know that when you do wake up, God's already awake, and he's awaiting to hear you say, good morning, Daddy. You know, I love you, Father. Thank you for waking me up this day, Lord God. What's on your agenda? What do you want to do today? What can I do? Lord, I have these things that need to be accomplished, and in order to accomplish these things, Father, be with me. Go before me. Let your glory be my rear guard. Give me favor. I declare today that I am bold. I have access to the Father. I declare today that I have all things richly to enjoy. I declare that I don't lack any good thing, but you provided everything for me. And we're going to walk joy this day, Lord God. I thank you for my husband, or I thank you for my wife. I thank you for our children. I thank you for the favor. I thank you for this job that I'm going to. They mistreat me, but you don't mistreat me. And if Jesus could endure the cross, I can endure anything these people bring my way. I am more than a conqueror through Christ. And you just start praying over your life and then start to walk in that cloud of God's glory. You feel his presence more than you ever felt it before, because there comes a time, it's more than just goosebumps. Now it's presence. And you know that he is with you, and you feel it when it comes on. Don't you want to get there? I mean, it's not just about talking about, really, that really true? Yeah, it is. And you just keep on going, because we just scratched the surface up to this point. But God wants us to go even deeper. He wants us to go to the point to where we're talking to Jesus, what's up? You know, and not necessarily with a disrespectful, you know, worldly, secular terms or terminology that we use with worldly people, but out of reverence and letting he's there, we start communicating like he's there. We talk to the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, what is the Holy Ghost saying? You know, we read the book of Acts and we see, well, the Holy Ghost said, and it's like, Holy Ghost, what? Who? And they're there fasting and praying. And then the Holy Ghost says, me, Paul and Barnabas, for a work that I've called them to do. The Holy Ghost said that. And that's because they were so into God and God was so into them, and they were united in the work that needed to get done. That never changed. We changed churchiosity. We changed into programs and things like that. Profitable for people, if you will. But as far as God's agenda, pattern, the way he told Moses, build the tabernacle the way you saw the pattern on the mountain. Don't deviate from it. Build it exactly like I showed you. How many of you know that God was pleased with the early church? I'll say so. Why? Because of the powerful moves that God made. There was always opposition. There was always persecution. But God began to move through ways we haven't seen in this generation. Others outside of that saw that, picked up the mantle outside of that time, picked up the mantle and would not let go of God until he manifested himself to them the way he manifested himself to the early church in the book of the Actions of the Holy Ghost and the apostles in cooperation with the Spirit of God. That's how Smith got it. That's how Seymour got it. That's how Mariah got it. That's how Catherine got it. That's how Amy got it. They would not let go till God said, you know, we live in a time where it's like, you know, it don't take all of that. And then we got these flashy-dashy type of things on the scene. And we're no different from the world. We even compete with the world. We try and have the things that the world has so that we can capture and captivate the interests of the people. We preached longer than an hour, and people were already fidgety. But Paul preached all day long. I'm not making an excuse for preaching all day long. But Paul preached all day long into the night, into the next morning. One boy fell asleep, fell out the window, died. Paul went out there and raised him from the dead. Never see those days as long as we behave the way we behave as the Church of the Living God of this time and hour. Oh, it'll happen in other places, spots, but you have to look at what they're doing. You have to look at how long they pray. You have to look at how they dedicate and devote their lives to the things of God. See, for us, it's like, well, it's in. But I ain't coming out on Monday. I ain't coming out on Wednesday. I ain't coming out on Friday. I'll see you next Sunday, maybe. The average Christian goes to church twice in a month, which means that they are starving for at least 28 days. Starving. There's only 30 days average in a month, so if you only go to church twice, and that more than likely, if you only have that kind of an appetite, that kind of a hunger and thirst for God, that means you really don't have much of an appetite for God. That means all those other days, because you ain't got time for God. You don't have time to read. You don't have time to fast. You don't have time to give yourself over to the things of God. So I'll give you 2 days out of the month. That means you're not tithing. You think tithing is Old Testament, that all that they just want your money. You just don't have enough money for the church anyways. Let me make that plain. This is not to get to you, to take from you what you have earned. This is to get you into the blessing and favor and supernatural provision of God. People who are afraid to tithe are people who are afraid to obey God. Tithing honors God. Time and time again, and some people get tired of hearing it, but it's like, just because you're tired of hearing it, it won't change the truth. Tell PG&E, I'm tired of you sending me a bill. I'm tired of paying this bill. I'm tired of it. I'm going 1 month without paying, 2 months, with here comes a 7-day notice, and with red on there to let you know they're going to cut you off if you don't pay that. The system is designed, the worldly system is designed. You pay for the services that you get. But in the kingdom of God, it's not paying gift. It's honoring the God who has blessed you with everything that you have. It's letting God know. It's God's way of testing you as to whether mammon is your God or he is your God. And when you honor God with your substance and the first fruit of all your increase, then your barn of that shall overflow with new wine. Then you start to see God's provision. Creditors will charge you interest. You borrow money from them, and they will charge you. Now it's average. You pay at least 23% interest on a decent credit card. I said decent credit card. There was a time where you paid little or no interest on a credit card. They've always charged interest. That's why they're in the business. They're in the business to make money. But now the interest rate, you know, it's just, it has just skyrocketed, if you will. So what you do is you use their money for the 30 days of the period, and then you pay them back. And while you're earning money off of, you know, you're using their money to get what you need, and you have your money over here still earning interest, and then you pay them their money so that they don't get no extra interest off of you, and you say, thank you for letting me use your money for 28 days. That's where you manage credit. And then you find out, oh, you got excellent credit. You pay, and you pay on time. You don't pay the minimum payment. You pay the minimum payment, you will be paying on that thing for 3 to 5 years, and you will find that you have paid double whatever you asked of them. But it's so don't let them trick you or hoodwink you on that thing. You go in to buy a car, they ask you, how much do you want to pay? Don't fall for that trick. How do you know? Fell for it before. How much do you want? That man, who saw his Facebook? Who, yeah. Side trip, praise report. Come on over here, Brother Joseph. He is now, his heart's desire was to be a security guard or a policeman, if you will, law enforcement. But I went to his graduation and all, and I've seen him, you know, when he was at one of the stores, Best Buy. So, you know, he carries and conducts himself in a well-mannered way and with respect. Don't dare underestimate his size because he can bring you down. Amen. And he's got a license to carry. Praise God. Praise God, still got it. I ain't asking him if he's packing, but he still got it. So he has a license to carry, and he knows how to get you off of him. But as God is my witness, when I saw you in that video, in that interview, I'm like, wow, he has found his lane. To me, you look more comfortable in that than you did good when I saw you in your suit. When I say suit, your outfit, you know, uniform and all like that. And then doing your job as you were doing it at Best Buy and all. But I kid you not, I was like, man, he's in his lane. And he's talking comfortable. With confident clarity, he understood. He was very informative in talking about helping people to reestablish their credit if they have been done wrong or if they have just, you know, you may have made some mistakes, and he helps you to rebound, if you will, make your name good again in that regard. So thank you, Brother Joseph. Love you. I was proud of you. Praise. But anyways, on the subject of credit, you use credit system to work for you. The lender is master to the borrower. That's what God says. God, he's the one who says that. He says the borrower is slave to the lender. And so if obviously borrowing is sin, we can say that, because it can become a sin if we start to abuse things. But if borrowing is a sin, then lending is a sin. And God says that his people operating in the blessing would be the lender and not the borrower. And so even in using this credit system, let it work in your favor, on your behalf. Let your decisions be based on how can I make this work so that I don't find myself working two and three jobs for it. Anybody listening, especially you younger ones, because you haven't come into that place yet, but you will. And watch, when you get, like, you're sophomore? It's your first year. First year, freshman, okay. Trying to rush things. No, I'm not. But watch, especially when you get to college level, they start sending you all of these applications, you know. Apply for this visa, apply for that visa, apply for this MasterCard, apply for Discovery, apply for, and they send you all of these credit cards, and if you apply for every one of them, and you max them out to the max, you'll have, you know, I got an $800 limit, and you will go out and you will charge $800 worth of clothes or what have you, and then you'll be making those minimum payments. They tell you, oh, you only have to pay us $27. Praise God. But how long will you be paying that $27? You'll be paying that $27 for 5 years. By the time you get that $800 paid off, you will have paid them like $2,400. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it's like that. It works for them. You have to find out how you can make it work. How do you make it work for you? You use their money to do what you need, and you pay it off at the appointed time. And if you cannot pay it off, you make sure that you make more than just the minimum payment. You start to knock that thing out. Amen. Yeah, you attack that thing until it's gone. Because the longer you drag it out, the more interest you're going to pay. And that's not what God wants you to do with the money that he's blessed you with. Because they charge you like 20-something percent interest, and God says, I'm only saying, give me a 10. I'll open up the windows of heaven for you. I'll bless you. I'll pour out for you willingly. Oh, but it's only $27. I can afford $27. I'm sorry. I sound like I'm probably mimicking females and all, but men do it too. We get ourselves up and overextended in debt, and we become the slave to the lender. And however, stand to your feet. I said I wasn't going to be long, and so I'm going to stop right here. Build the quality, build the prayer time. If you don't have the appetite for it, ask. Ask. And then connect with somebody that you know is actively engaged in growing in their walk and relationship with God. Because this is what God wants for you. The last thing he wants is for you. You come to him in ignorance. The only thing he wants for you is to remain ignorant. It's like, no. You'll get past that stage of a task and a chore and I don't have time, and to where you want to make time for this, to where you know, especially if you've been away for a season or a time, you're longing for it. And when you long for it and you get into it, he just makes it all that worth. I mean, it's like homecoming. It's like seeing an old friend that you haven't seen in a long time, and you just come and you just embrace the glory of God. Amen. All right. Well, Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your sons and daughters. Thank you for the favor that you poured out. We honor you, Lord God. We thank you for what transpired and what is still transpiring in the realm of the Spirit, yet to be manifest for your glory here. Bless your sons and daughters. Lord, give them the appetite. Give them the hunger. Give them the thirst for you, the thirst for your word, so that, Father, our minds are renewed and that our view, our worldview, our perspective on things, that they are not skewed by society, but they are clear through your word. I pray the power of your blessing, not only on these who are here, but those that watch live stream, those that watch Facebook Live, Ustream and all, that it reaches them where they are, that they come into the fullness of all that you have in store. Thank you for what you did today. Continue to do it in Jesus' name. Now the Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance on you. Give peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, so that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell. Why? Because you are the what? Con. What else? What else? Come on. Foundation, mainstay, prop, and support of the truth. The Lord be with you everywhere you go. Bless the works of your hands. Order your steps, direct your path, and guide his eye. In Jesus' name, and everybody who agrees said amen. Amen. All right. We love you dearly. If you need prayer, you can see us immediately following service. Other than that, have a blessed Sunday afternoon. We'll be back here at the altar at 6 o'clock. Amen.